All right, well, God bless you, everybody, and please take your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll be beginning in verse 3. The title of this teaching is Our Heavenly Home. Despite clear scriptural teaching on the subject, it's very surprising that even informed Christians sometimes misunderstand where they're going to live in the ages to come. You know, on the one hand, people sing about, on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. And on the same time, they're talking about walking down the streets of gold in the New Jerusalem. So we're going to try to get a clear understanding from the scriptures of where our home is in the future for the church. Now, it may surprise you to learn that there is no mention in the scriptures of future earthly blessings for the church. Our future blessings, meaning after the gathering together, are associated with heavenly things, okay, for the church. If you go to Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." This is better rendered, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So our blessings are in Christ, they're spiritual blessings we've been blessed with, and they're in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, verse 1 to 4 talk about our previous condition, and then it says in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us," or made us alive together with Christ, "by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, if you stop there, you might think, well, it's only heavenly places temporarily. But verse 8 says, "For by grace are you," "that in the ages to come," verse 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." It doesn't say that we're going to be moved from this seating in the heavenly places in the ages to come. It says that God has seated us there to continue to show even the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. So our heavenly seating in Christ remains throughout the ages. This is a spiritual reality now, but it will become an actuality in the ages to come, where we'll be actually seated in the heavenly places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know from the Old Testament reading that all the promises to Israel were on the land, the promised land. They were earthly blessings, the inheritance, the meek shall inherit the earth. But for the church, that blessings are heavenly. They're spiritual, heavenly in nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in," where? "The heavens." Okay, this is speaking about the new body. If we die today, we know that we have a new body that's eternal in the heavens. Okay, verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so being that being clothed we shall not be found naked." So our body is eternal in the heavens. A new body that we have is eternal in the heavens. Okay, not on the new earth, in the heavens. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer was addressing these saints, these Hebrew saints who had really stood with him during a time of trial. And it says in verse 34, "For you," these Hebrew saints, "had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. These people had been robbed, basically. Their stuff had been stolen because they were Christian believers. But they took it joyfully because they looked forward to their more enduring substance in heaven. They were suffering for the gospel's sake. You know, they were being persecuted because they were believers. But they said, hey, yeah, we lose stuff here on earth, but because we're taking a stand for God, we have a more enduring substance, not on the earth, but in heaven. Okay. In 1 Peter, look at chapter 1, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in the New Jerusalem for you. Nope. Reserved where? In heaven for you. Okay. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if indeed be you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were going through some suffering and trials right now, but you know, which caused them some heaviness of mind. You know, but it says you have a more enduring substance, you have an inheritance reserved in heaven. Okay, that's where our blessings are for the church. They are in heaven, not on the earth. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have any earthly blessings in the future, you know, that we won't be able to partake of things of the new earth. I don't know. The scriptures don't really speak to it. But from what we can read in the scriptures, there are the blessings for the church. What we're expected to be in the future is all heavenly, all related to heavenly things. Okay, so we've seen that our spiritual blessings are in Christ in the heavenlies. We're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ throughout the ages, that our new body is heavenly, and that our enduring substance is in heaven, and our inheritance is in heaven. So everything is in heaven, in heaven, in heaven. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you where? In heaven. Okay, laid up for you in heaven, where if you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's where our hope is laid up. It's in heaven. Our hope for the blessings that we have coming in the future is heavenly. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, Paul speaking here by revelation, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before our head. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word high is upward calling, or the up or the above calling, calling above. In Hebrews, it talks about that we're partakers of the heavenly calling. So our calling is above. Okay. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. Now think like I do, is what he's saying. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You know, let's walk in step with one another. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Okay? They were looking at earthly things, earthly desires. And then verse 20, for our conversation, and the word conversation, as you know, is citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Jesus Christ is given the responsibility of giving us our new bodies. And our citizenship here, it says, is in heaven. Okay. Now, generally, where your citizenship is, that's the country that you live in. And, you know, you can move out of that country for sure, but our citizenship is where you belong, and we belong in heaven. That's our citizenship. We're living on earth now temporarily. We're aliens in this world, strangers and pilgrims in this world, but our citizenship is absolutely in heaven. Okay, you see how there's just, and you can read the church epistles, there's no mention, to my knowledge, in the church epistles of future blessings for the saints on earth. Okay, we have many blessings today because of what God has done on the earth, for sure. Okay, but all future blessings after the gathering together are associated with heavenly things. Now, as I said before, that doesn't mean that we may not be involved in things of the new earth. I don't know all that, you know, because the 1 Corinthians 6, for example, does say that the saints will judge the world and angels. So we may have responsibilities, but our blessings, our home, where we will live, is our inheritance is in heaven. That's what the scriptures say. Okay, our blessings are heavenly in nature. So now, having clearly seen this from the scriptures, why is it some people still insist on living in the New Jerusalem, that our home is in the New Jerusalem that's mentioned in the book of Revelation? And one confusing reason, one reason why people may confuse this is because there are different Jerusalems spoken about in God's word. Now, I have counted at least that the word of God at least speaks about four different Jerusalems. Okay. First one, of course, you all know is the earthly city of Jerusalem, which David captured from the Jebusites, right? That's it didn't belong to Israelites in the beginning. It was a city of unbelievers, and it was captured by David. And then there's the Jerusalem that's talked about during the last days that Isaiah talks about. And then there's the new Jerusalem that the book of Revelation talks about. And then there's the heavenly Jerusalem, which the scriptures also talk about. So furthermore, the heavenly Jerusalem is called Zion in the Word of God. Okay, and the earthly city of Jerusalem is, in most references to it, it's called the daughter of Zion in both the Old and the New Testaments. Okay, so the heavenly Jerusalem that exists now is called Zion, and the city of Jerusalem in the Old and New Testaments was called the daughter of Zion, although even the earthly city sometimes is referred to Zion in a figurative way. And so you can tell from the context it's referring to the earthly city. Now, the new Jerusalem, on the other hand, you know, is, so that's the city, there's the heavenly Jerusalem, there's the Jerusalem on the earth, and then the new Jerusalem, on the other hand, is built by God and descends from heaven in the book of Revelation. We'll take a look at that. So let's first take a look at the two references to the heavenly Jerusalem that are mentioned in the New Testament. So Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. This section in chapter 4 talks about an allegory, which is a comparison done, an extended comparison. And the Galatian people wanted to put themselves under law. And verse 21, he says to them, tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by the promise. So you know Ishmael and Isaac it's talking about. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, okay? speaking about the earthly Jerusalem, and is in bondage with her children. Okay, the earthly Jerusalem is under the old covenant, bondage with her children. But verse 26, it says, but Jerusalem, which is above, okay, above, that's the same word where it's talked about set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, that word, again, is the same thing, the upward call of God that we read about in Philippians. It's talking about heavenly things, okay? The Jerusalem which is above, meaning in heaven, is free, okay? Which is the mother of us all, okay? Speaking of Mother's Day, did you know that the Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the mother of us all? So, so this is the heavenly Jerusalem. It says it is above, okay? It exists right now. This is Zion. And it's all throughout the Old Testament. This is where God's dwelling place is said to be, but it is above and is called the mother of us all. Those of us who are born again and are free and not under bondage like the people in the earthly Jerusalem, okay? So this Jerusalem, which is above, already exists in heaven and is said to be, you know, our mother, and we are, the saints are called, it's the mother of the saints, and the free woman, and it's contrasted and called the free woman as opposed to the one in bondage with her children. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's go there. It's also mentioned. Now, when the law was given in the Old Testament, Israel was brought near Mount Sinai, the mountain. You might remember the record. And, you know, you remember that they were very afraid, and they asked, God spoke up in the mountain, and then they asked Moses, don't let God speak to us. You go up there and talk to God, and we'll stay down here. You might remember that record, because the mountain was shaking, and there was fire, and all kinds of stuff happening. And they were, you know, even Moses, it says, trembled. Here in Hebrews chapter 12. But it says in verse 18, speaking to the saints, okay, speaking to the believers of the church, it says, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice say they heard, that they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. So they were very afraid at that time. In contrast to this event that took place, it says, well, let's keep reading for verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. This is from Exodus chapter 19. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Okay. It was an awesome sight that took place, you know. I kind of picture like a rumbling volcano of a mountain happening, you know, how afraid, how fearsome of that sight would be. And in contrast to that mountain where the earthly, the saints, you know, the Old Testament saints were approached unto, it says to the New Testament, the church, it says, but you, on the other hand, are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? Meaning the Jerusalem, which is in heaven. It's not a mountain that can be touched because we are not in heaven yet. It's up in the, it's in heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Okay, what does it mean, innumerable? That means you can't count them. There's so many angels. Okay, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay, that's the city that we have been brought near through Jesus Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, notice it said heavenly Jerusalem. It didn't say new Jerusalem, and it said an innumerable company of angels. Okay, so the saints have approached Mount Zion. Remember, I told you Zion is referred to as the Mount Zion is in heaven, and Zion is referred to the heavenly Jerusalem. The city of the living God, it's called the heavenly Jerusalem, an untold number of angels, and a general assembly just means a festive gathering, okay? A festive gathering. It's the church of the firstborn, and you know that the firstborn refers to Jesus Christ, right? The firstborn from the dead. that's the church of the firstborn. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, and there'll be many others who are going to be raised again from the dead. Then it talks about whose names are registered or written in heaven, and our names are indeed in the book of life in heaven. Okay. And then it says, God, the judge of all, the spirit of the just ones who have been perfected, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, not the old covenant that was done at Mount Sinai, the new covenant, and his sprinkled blood, which speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay. So this is the heavenly Jerusalem. It's there now. It's existed as far as, you know, the scriptures talk about it all through the Old Testament. It's there now, and we have been brought near it through the work of Jesus Christ. Now, the new Jerusalem, let's look at that in Revelation chapter 3. As I said, many people still talk about that, whether that we're going to be living in the new Jerusalem. That's our home. But why would we want to do, I mean, that I'm not, this is not to disparage anything about the new Jerusalem. It's going to be absolutely fantastic and wonderful beyond dreams, but we've been given something greater. In Revelation 3, verse 12, it says, to him that overcometh, verse 12, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. Okay. According to Bullinger and Thayer, the word new here means new, that is to say, newly made. Okay. Not merely recent, okay, but different from that which had been formerly. Okay. So it's a brand new, we would say. New is coming in the place of a thing that was formerly and not yet used. Okay, so this is a city that is brand new when God makes it. So Thayer says it means recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn. Okay, this is the new Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem already exists. The new Jerusalem is to be newly made when the new heavens and earth are prepared. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven, that's that same word new, brand new, okay, and a new earth, a brand new earth, not the earth we live in now, for the first heaven and the first earth, or the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be there with them and be their God. Okay, so then it goes on to describe the new Jerusalem in great detail. Let's skip down to verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, okay? Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates, how many angels? 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. See, the new Jerusalem is associated with Israel, the old covenant, and it had 12 gates and 12 angels. In contrast, the heavenly Jerusalem had, what did we read? An innumerable company of angels, okay? Couldn't even count them, okay? So the new Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem are not the same thing. This city does descend out of heaven. God is the one who makes it, but it's brand new, made at this instant. When the new heaven and earth have been made, God makes it new for that time period, and it's for those of the old covenant, the old covenant people. Okay, that's why it's the 12 gates and the 12 apostles, the tribes, all those things are associated with the new Jerusalem. Okay, that's not our home. Okay, our home is in heaven. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11. Which is this great hall of fame of believers in the Old Testament. And Actually, some of them, you know, preceded the old covenant. Seven of them didn't preceded the actual making of the old covenant. So they're just believers all from the beginning onwards. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking about Abraham. Well, let's start in verse 9. Hebrews 11 by verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the New Jerusalem. That's what God had shown him vision of, that he would be living in the New Jerusalem. That's the city he was looking for. Okay, the New Jerusalem. We just read that God, it was prepared by God. When we read it in the book of Revelation, okay? In verse 16 down there in Hebrews 11, it says, but now they, speaking about they, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those Old Testament believers, but now they desire a better country. Actually, let's just read the context a little bit more, okay? Let's start in verse 13, speaking about all these old saints. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked for the future. God gave them revelation. Jesus Christ said, God even preached the gospel to Abraham, okay, in the Old Testament. And for they that say such things, you know, when they declare themselves as strangers and pilgrims, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, Abraham did not want to go back to Ur of the Chaldees. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. See, prepared for them. They desire them, not us. Okay. This is talking about the old covenant saints. God prepared for them a city. Ours is already, you know, then if you go to the end of chapter 11, verse 38 says, of whom, speaking about these old Testament believers, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided the same thing for us? No. Provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And in the book of Hebrews, over and over again, you see the word better used in terms of what the church has as compared to what the Old Testament saints had. Okay, we have a better covenant, better inheritance, better hope, better. Everything is better for the church than it was for the Old Testament saints, see? And then it goes into chapter 12 where God speaks about us and us already coming to the heavenly Jerusalem. So there you have the contrast between what the new Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem to which we have been brought near, we have approached, okay? So understanding the different Jerusalems in the Bible is one way to keep it in clear, and understanding that we are not destined for living in that new Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. Our home, our inheritance, our citizenship, our blessings are all heavenly for the church. They are better than they were for anybody in the Old Testament. Why wouldn't they be? Because Jesus Christ, has he done less for us than the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament? You know, he's done far, far more for us. And so the promises of God for the church are far greater than they were for anybody in the Old Testament. Okay, so let's just finish off in Hebrews chapter 12 again. Verse 22, for you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, not 12 gates with 12 angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's us, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay. And so let's keep that in our minds very straight, that the blessings for us, for the church, are heavenly in nature, and our home is in heaven above, okay? So let's not be moved from that on our way to heaven, okay? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings, the greater blessings that you've given us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Father, so far exceeding what was available before. Thank you for your merciful grace and kindness to us in Christ, Father, and how richly these spiritual blessings are that we will realize in the future, Father. I'm sure we don't even know an inkling of what is in store for us, Father, because how great and magnificent you are, and our minds probably just can't even conceive of all the many, many things you have in store for us. But we thank you, Father. We take you at your word and believe what your word says. And thank you that you have prepared these things for us in the heavens above. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.